Words About Books is a poorly spoken podcast. Every month, we pick a book, and we have a book club-style discussion. And since we already blew this month on Edenverse, the greatest book ever written by two people who've appeared on this podcast, we're now going to dive into a book I read back when I was like 14 or 15 and have recently gone back to. I'm Nate, and as always, I'm joined by co-host Ben Broken Tooth Edward. How you doing, man?
I broke my tooth. And
you did.
Yeah, it's been a lot. I'm no longer beautiful. I broke my front tooth, so my dentist is closed. We are recording this New Year's weekend, so
you decided to end 2020 with a bang.
Yep. So yeah, it's a. I don't know. I guess if you hear any strange whistling on the mic, that's it's my broken tooth.
And if anyone is curious about what he looks like with a broken tooth, go download those StarCraft episodes. You don't have to listen to them. I don't care if you listen to them. You just have to download them, and then you can delete them immediately. Because if we get 50 downloads, Ben is going to stream the StarCraft 1 campaign, broken tooth and all. I assume by then your tooth will probably be fixed.
Yeah, I was going to say, the tooth will be fixed by then, but I'll tell you what, I'll go one further for you. I have taken a picture of myself with the broken tooth, and if this gets, 50 downloads, I will go ahead and tweet my broken tooth picture.
And if we get 1,000 downloads, he'll break his tooth all over again, just for you.
If we get 1,000 downloads, I'll tweet a picture of Nate.
Oh, well, thank God that's never happening. All right, Ben. So, where are we discussing today? I don't know why I'm asking you. I was the one who picked it.
We're talking about The Chocolate War by an author you never actually told me.
Robert Cormier, I think is how you say it. I told you that. I'm like 90% sure. Because I also told you, he's got a lot of novels that are, pessimistic and real fucking downers. I read the plot synopsis of the last one he wrote, and it was, a detective is convinced that this one guy killed his classmate, and so he psychologically tortures him until he starts questioning if he was the murderer, and then he actually goes on to kill someone.
Okay.
Yeah, I think most of his books are like that. And in fact, Wikipedia says that he... recurring themes include abuse, mental illness, violence, revenge, betrayal, and conspiracy. In most of his novels, the protagonists do not win. Spoiler alert, Wikipedia.
I can't wait to find out why this one has such a whimsical name.
The Chocolate War?
Yeah. Is it about, actually growing, cocoa beans? I don't know
no,
what
it's
chocolate's
about
made
selling
of.
Chocolates for a school fundraiser.
Is it really?
It is. Yes.
Oh, okay.
Did you think it'd be set in Hawaii or something, or Brazil,
Do they knock on the door of a serial killer or something?
No, a kid refuses to sell chocolates and the school and everyone in it beats the shit out of him for doing so.
I'm going to let you know a little secret here. You know, when they had those, you had to sell so many chocolate bars, and if you made $1,000 for your school, you got a hat.
Yeah.
I didn't do that.
I didn't do that either.
Nobody cared.
I'm wondering if this was a different time. I can't imagine anyone ever cared.
No. It's interesting though. So why you read this when you were 15?
I was a sophomore, which is actually the first year of high school, or it was back then. They started at 10th grade for some reason.
Well, so for me, my high school transcript start at 9th grade, but ninth grade was still in the junior high building.
Oh, so yours was like mine.
Yeah.
Okay. I didn't realize how widespread that was, because like 5 or 6 years ago, the school district voted to make it like 9 through 12 at the high school, which is kind of dumb because they have only two high schools and they have four junior highs, but whatever, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, I think it depends
on
how many.
We've never cared about teachers. So.
How many students and the age spread of your students. But yeah, high school, and no matter what though, like if you're going to college, high school starts at ninth grade. That's when you're going to get your GPA or whatever.
I don't remember my high school GPA. Probably low.
Yeah, I was going to say mine wasn't great. Yeah, I remember begging a lot of teachers. It's like, hey, can I, in this last week of the marking period, can I turn in every homework assignment we did, like right now, for late points?
And did they say, yeah, that's fine, whatever?
Honestly, like, yeah, usually.
Yeah, I figured most of the time they're like, I don't really give a shit. Like, I just want you to get out of here.
It's less paperwork for them if I don't fail.
Yeah.
So,
like, yeah, I'll just give you half credit for everything. Turn it all in.
Yep.
Yeah, we were discussing this, and the pandemic has shown a light on this, that like high school education is basically a state-run daycare facility.
Yeah, and college is essentially a private, paid-for daycare facility for young adults.
I would say that's not true for every single major, but I would say that, yeah, I went into nursing, and I would say that of the 5 years I was there, probably 2.5 were...
I was going to say, I went into computer science, which is usually considered a good major, and you could have cut, I forget how many credits I needed to graduate, but like you could have cut 60 credits out of my major easy.
About 30 credits a year or so, you could have easily cut 60. Their excuse is like, well, we need well-rounded individuals. Like, I don't think anyone's going to do their A game in English 101 because you make them take it. Can I just pay you money so that I don't take that?
I took a class, Music is Literature, where I wrote a paper on Real Big Fish's sellout. And now I'm a middle-aged white guy with a podcast. Yeah, I think that class was instrumental in my interest in song-based literature. I feel like we're doing that thing where we struggle not to talk about the book.
Yeah, that's true. All right, so I've decided that at the very least I want to get this quote in here to be a proper douche like you, Ben.
I'm ready.
They murdered him. As he turned to take the ball, a dam burst against the side of his head, and a hand grenade shattered his stomach. Engulfed by nausea, he pitched toward the grass. His mouth encountered gravel, and he spat frantically, afraid that some of his teeth had been knocked out. There you go, Ben.
I feel that, yeah.
Yeah. Rising to his feet, he saw the field through drifting gauze, but held on until everything settled into place, like a lens focusing, making the world sharp again with edges. So that's
like
actually
my tooth.
How the book starts. Yeah. I'm glad you chipped your tooth for this podcast, Ben. It really adds the emotional investment.
I can connect to this character, yeah.
That's how the book starts, and I just wanted to quote that because I think Robert Cormier, whose name I'm probably mispronouncing, but he's dead so he can't yell at me. I think he's a really good writer who can paint a very vivid picture, despite the fact that it's set in a high school and it's like almost fantastical how much they hate the main character by the end of it. So I did want to get that out there because I think it's a really well-written book, and we don't often have a good way of talking about that on the podcast. Doing that justice.
Okay. So, I'm sorry, do I agree with that we don't normally communicate the style very well?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know anything about the book, but I guess I'll give you, like, first impressions as you talk to me about it. Like, giving... given the subject matter and the quote, I'm going to say that I think maybe Robert Cormier is a little dramatic.
Yes.
Yes,
he's a very dramatic person.
Did this ever actually happen to a person that they were like, so I guess I shouldn't say, I could imagine this technically happening, but is he being beaten up because he didn't sell chocolate? Is that what's happening right now?
No, the beginning of the book, he's trying out for football practice.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, it's, and he didn't think he'd...
an introduction to the main character, who is much smaller than most of the other guys because he's a freshman at this Christian all-boys school. I don't know how important that is.
Okay. What? I'm sorry, why did you read this book again? Was it assigned? Was it?
It was assigned.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
It was one of the few books in high school I actually remember reading, because most of the time when they assigned me a book, I was like, I'm not going to do that.
This time I opened the book and somebody was getting hand grenades chucked into their gut the first page, so...
Okay. I don't know why. I think that I just needed something to do, maybe.
So, okay, so he's playing football. He caught the ball and he got tackled?
Yes. Okay. He got the shit kicked out of him.
He got tackled?
Yes, which okay. is like getting the shit kicked out of you.
It's not.
Football's a very violent sport, Ben.
Okay. But, okay, go on. We gotta move on.
So, the reason this is here is because, like I said, he's a smaller guy, he's a freshman, he's trying out for football practice, and he catches the eye of this douchebag. His name is Archie, which is just a horrible, atrocious name. I'm sorry if your name is Archie, but it's a bad name. Because he doesn't just stay down, he keeps getting back up after he gets... Like, this isn't the only time he's getting tackled, and the author is telling us in depth about all the pain this guy is suffering. All right, let me just tell you the setup, then.
Okay.
Because I'm trying to just get through this.
All right.
So, there's a not-so-secret society at this school, Ben.
Okay, I mean, that kind of fits private school, I guess.
Does it? You didn't go to private school, right?
No, but like not like just your average like private Christian school, but like a fancy boarding school or something. I can imagine that.
I see. Well, it's not a boarding school because he goes home every night.
Where his parents also beat him?
His dad is... So his mom died of cancer.
Okay.
He saw his mom die of cancer. Which was depressing as fuck. And then his dad, he thinks his dad also is basically dead. Like, he goes to work. He doesn't have any interesting stories, anything that went on in his day. He hardly talks to his dad. And then his dad goes to sleep. And he wakes up and he does the same thing over and over again. He's set in a routine. And so he sees that and he decides he's gonna... The question of the story is, do I dare disturb the universe? Which is a quote from a poem by T.S. Eliot.
Oh, God. Okay.
I told you that.
I see where this is going now. Okay. Did you ever see the 30 Rock bit where they're like...
I've seen the entire series, so I'm sure
the movie
I've seen
Oscar
it.
Bait based on the novel Stone Cold Bummer. that's the vibe I'm getting here.
So, okay, let's talk about that secret society real quick.
Okay.
So, their whole thing is they haze people for their amusement, I guess. There's a whole spiel about how, like, oh, it's nothing personal, and, like,
that's
everyone had to do it.
It's how frats work, yeah.
Yeah, and they, the guy, Archie, he assigns tasks to people to do. Like... one of the guys has to loosen all the screws in a classroom, but not take them out so that everything just like falls apart once they're in class the next Monday.
Okay.
It's funny stuff, I guess.
That would be so, kind of funny.
The teacher has a nervous breakdown and never goes back again.
What?
Yeah.
Wait, so that's played as like
played as PTSD.
So somebody loosens all the screws in a classroom.
And that kid has PTSD about doing it to the teacher who has a panic attack and never comes back to work again.
Okay.
I wonder if this was back when people didn't understand mental health at all, and it was back during a time when you couldn't get help.
It's back during a time where your only choice was to become a novelist. Look, I'm going to be real with you. These seem like fairly normal childhood things viewed through somebody who is just determined to be miserable.
Honestly, I don't think you're wrong.
Okay.
So they also introduce Brother Leon. So this guy is the vice headmaster or whatever? He's second in charge. The headmaster himself, though, is ill. Leon's making a play to be headmaster full time. And he bought a bunch of chocolate from the year before for, like, Easter that he just saved for the chocolate sale that he's going to force all these kids to do. And he wants them to sell more chocolate than ever because it turns out he spent a bunch of money he wasn't supposed to. That comes out later. So he gets Archie and that secret society's help to sell the chocolate in exchange for favors. And Archie has the main character not sell chocolates for, like, a week or something, because that would be hilarious to see the reaction on the brother's face.
Okay.
But then, main character decides to... Is Jerry. I should stop. Whatever. Who gives a shit? Main character man decides that he's just not going to sell chocolates at all. And so more kids are like, we should also stop selling chocolates.
Revolution, yeah.
Yeah, so then Secret Society is like, we're going to sell these chocolates, and we're going to make it into like a big community activity, we're going to give everyone credit for doing it, the huge celebration, it's going to be like a fucking Roman triumph.
Okay.
Except main character man is going to continue to refuse.
Okay.
And so So everyone will slowly turn against him. And by slowly, I mean it happens really quickly. There's not a whole lot of time that could have passed in this book.
So I would say
over the course of like 2 weeks, they go from like, wow, that guy's really cool and brave for not selling chocolate, to that guy's a dick for not selling chocolate when all of us definitely are. Wink.
So I'm sensing that the chocolate is something of a metaphor for, like, I don't know, conformity. Like, society likes a rebel until they don't, and then they turn on him.
Yeah, everyone in school gives him the silent treatment, and then someone tries to push him down a flight of stairs?
Well, okay, what?
People go to his house, and like honk horns and shit all night or call his phone at all hours.
Okay. Yeah, okay. Now sandwiched between these two normal forms of bullying was an attempted murder. That's interesting. It's like, yeah, we're going to throw spitballs at him in class. And then we're going to like saran wrap his car and then maybe you can, like, try to stab him. What? What was that last one? Okay, go on.
The big douchebag in school, his name is Emil Janza. He is basically hired to take a hit out on that guy by the Secret Society. He's like, go kick the shit out of that guy.
Okay.
And instead of just beating him up on his own, which was the plan, he gets a bunch of guys from... like a local gang in his neighborhood to beat the shit out of him.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. He's also kicked off the football team because people are intentionally not catching what he's throwing and not defending him, so he'll get tackled.
Wait, he's the quarterback?
He's not the quarterback, but he's like a backup, like a second or third string quarterback behind the actual quarterback.
I was just going to say though, like I've played football. And I can tell you.
Have you?
Yes, I have.
I guess that makes sense. You look like a football player.
Fuck you. And I can tell you at football practice, if you refuse to defend the quarterback, I was on the line, you ass. I don't look like a running back. Fine. Yeah, if I refuse to defend the quarterback, I would have been the one in trouble. like if somebody gets through the line, that's usually the line's fault.
Ben, I don't know how football works. I don't know if you've realized
I'm
this.
I'm gathering that's... Neither does this guy. Okay, but so they sabotage him. He's not allowed to be on the cool sport anymore.
Basically, he continues his defiance even though it's getting him attempted murdered.
Okay.
And finally, Archie of the Secret Society decides to have this... They sell all the chocolate except for main character man's, right? And they're like, hey, we're going to give you an opportunity to have a boxing match with that bully. Yeah.
Okay.
And it's some weird convoluted raffle where everyone has to... They pay $2 to buy a raffle ticket, which allows you to say who gets to throw the punch and what kind of punch it is. And if your punch is the one that knocks them out, you get the 50 boxes of chocolate. It's very convoluted, Ben.
Okay. That's not a boxing match.
No, it's not. It actually just devolves into a boxing match about 4 punches in.
I was going to say, I wouldn't agree to that.
Well, they actually bring that up, where he sells it like it's a boxing match, and then in front of everyone, he tells the rules.
Okay.
And the bully agrees. And so main character doesn't want to back out now because he'd look like a pussy.
What? Okay. I mean,
he'd look like a pussy in front of everyone, even though everyone hates him.
Look, I'll give you this. Kids are dumb. I could see a kid being peer pressured into this, yeah. I guess. Okay.
Yeah, kids are stupid, just like me when I read this.
Okay. Go on.
It does just devolve into a boxing match. I guess I also have to point out one more thing. So every time Archie gives you an assignment, he has to draw a marble from a box. And I guess marbles were hard to come by back then, because they're talking about how they can't possibly get all the same color. But whatever. So there's 5 white marbles and 1 black marble. And if Archie draws the black marble, he has to do the thing he assigned for the hazer. So he would have to fight in this boxing match, or he'd have to undo all the screws or whatever.
Is this an anime?
Ben is not that impressive.
Like
a really lame anime.
No, I feel like there's just too many rules for how all these like psychopaths operate.
It's supposed to be a check on his power, Ben, because towards the very end of the book, they start going, I always thought I was the good guy, even though that doesn't jive with anything that's happened so far in the book.
Now I could see a kid being like peer pressured into a stupid boxing match stunt. For the same reason, I have a hard time believing that a kid is really concerned about checks and balances on their power.
I think it's a stupid rule by the secret society, not the guy who's doing the assignment. Okay.
So there are like adults in the society that...
Nope.
So this was like a... They voted.
They've been
around
for a long time. Yeah, I don't. Yeah, you're getting caught up in this book whose summary I'm trying to blow through, Ben.
Okay, go blow away.
So I guess the whole point is, and I could probably just cut out that whole thing because they make a point like, oh, he's never drawn a black marble. So
yeah, cause he's probably cheating because he's an asshole.
Yeah, no shit. Yeah. That's exactly what's happening. I think they figure that out in the sequel to this, which I will never read and don't have any intention to do so or desire. So the whole thing for this is like, oh, now he has to draw two marbles, one for each fighter. And he draws a white marble, and then it's like, oh no, he might draw the black one because now he has slightly higher odds, and then he draws another white one. Because they're dumb, and they never figured out, like, let's make them all blue marbles. How about that? Rainbow. And then if he draws a white marble, you know he's full of shit. Whatever, Ben. It's pointless. Basically, main character gets the shit kicked out of him in a boxing match, and it's all going to be covered up by the headmaster. And as he is slowly losing consciousness, and he basically wants to tell his friend to not defy the universe and just do whatever they ask, the end.
And then he loved Big Brother. That's okay, go on.
I know what that's a reference to.
Yeah. Ben.
Oh, yeah, there's also a bit of sexual frustration in this book because he can't talk to a girl whose name he hardly even knows. So that's okay. The end of the book, Ben.
Okay.
So I think we were going to try to go into, like, school reading topics. Is that where
So this was assigned reading in school for you.
This was assigned reading in school in probably one of the worst years of my pre-college life that I can recall. Yeah.
Okay. So, obviously the book stuck with you. Is that fair to say?
That's unfortunately fair to say.
So why do you think the book stuck with you?
I'm wondering if it's because it did, at some point in my life, actually make a connection. As someone who, when I went to high school, what had happened is most of my friends went to various different other cliques. And I didn't have one of those.
Okay. So, okay. So this, like this, the whole like system trying to beat you down and, so it seems like the theme, I guess I should say, so the theme of the book is there's a system which seems very much metaphorical for society in general of corruption and despots and things like that, beating down anybody who dares to be different.
And they succeed. Yeah. Maybe that's also part of it.
Yeah, so that resonated with you as a person who was having a hard time fitting in.
Yeah. Sure. Probably. That's what I can think of as the most apt reason.
Yeah, I think that makes sense. What was the classroom discussion of this book like?
Jesus, I don't even remember much about the actual discussion around the book.
What did the teacher, like, did the teacher... So this is something, like, if you want to talk about assigned reading in classrooms, which a lot of people have...
What's the purpose?
A lot of people have a lot of opinions on assigned reading in classrooms, but as far as I can tell, I've never met anyone who's ever done the assigned reading. So...
That's fair, because, like I said, I think this is maybe the only one that I actually read in high school. And the rest was like... Oh, Wikipedia and SparkNotes exist.
So I just wondered, do you remember anything about, like, so you read the book, and then did they just, what, test you on whether or not
you... they made us read the original T.S. Eliot poem, and then question, what are questions we would ask on if we would dare disturb the universe? Dare to do what exactly?
Mm-hmm. And do you remember how you answered that or how anyone else answered that?
I remember answering it in a very mundane way. because I couldn't think of a question. And I remember that my partner in that exercise, he was questioning whether he should pursue a pro football career as a sophomore. So it's like, you'd have to be really good in high school, right? And then you'd have to be really good in college, right? That's how that works. Like, yeah. You're scouted.
Yeah, usually.
I don't think he's a pro football player now.
The odds are pretty good that he's not, yeah. But he thinks that would disturb the universe?
His universe.
Okay. So, yeah, I mean, I guess it's kind of like, did the teacher have anything to say about the book? I guess it sounds like your teacher was trying to make you think about what? Not just going with the flow, about trying to, like, make your mark on the world, or like, what unique thing you can bring to the world? Is that the gist of it?
Probably that over... Don't act out or I'll beat the shit out of you. Yeah. Probably the former.
Yeah. Well, because it's like, you know, 1984 obviously ends with him brainwashed and totally resigned to his fate. And that is not the message Orwell wanted you to take away from 1984. It was, don't let it get to this point. Because once you do, there's really no going back.
You're fucked.
So it doesn't sound like you got a lot of guidance, or like you had a very in-depth discussion about the
themes. I don't recall
themes.
Having one, no.
So what do you think the theme of this book was? What do you think the author was trying to say?
I almost want to say that the author is trying to say what the book actually comes away with. Like, it's not 1984.
It's just depression porn.
Yeah, depression porn's a good way to say that. Yeah, it's... If you do go against the grain, you will be destroyed for it.
The nail that sticks out will get hammered down every
yes.
time. So don't stick
this
out.
This book was actually banned in a lot of schools.
Yeah,
well,
I mean...
I saw...
From what you're telling me, I haven't read The Chocolate War. I've never even heard of The Chocolate War. It does sound like it's just kind of misery porn, where he's taking events that... many of us go through bullying, even systemic bullying, and he's just kind of like reveling yes. in it for a while.
The book was banned from many schools for its sexual content, strong language, and violence.
There's something about the way, so the only actual text of the book I have to go on is that description of being tackled in football.
And yes.
That, to me, seems like somebody who's just, like, reveling in pain. Like, I've been tackled. I've been kicked in the face. Like, I've been knocked out twice and choked out once. And it's never, like, I've never, when I'm doing a sport, I've never thought of it like... so dramatic, I guess. It would be that way if you hadn't signed up for that to happen. Like, there is definitely, like, it's very different to get punched while you're sparring versus, like, while you're walking down the street. It's a whole different mental framework there. But it seems like the way this guy's describing it, that's not how somebody who's at football practice would actually feel. Like, why did you choose to play football if you didn't want to get tackled?
The Chocolate War looks at how violence, authority, and speech are used to manipulate the students of Trinity into doing things they don't want to do. Blackmail, extortion, psychological games, physical punishment, these are part of the curriculum at this school.
Yeah, I mean, I get that, but I don't know. It's like you said, the way he chooses to frame every interaction and every abuse just kind of like wallows in the misery of it. Why does the kid not want to sell chocolate?
I think because he doesn't want to be like his father, who's set in a routine.
What?
Yes.
Does having chocolate have to what? Okay. Okay, so he
is spicing up his life, baby.
Okay, so he's enjoying the rebellion. Is that what I gather from that? He's just enjoying not conforming.
I don't know if he necessarily enjoys it, but it beats the alternative of just keeping your head down and moving through life.
So he just doesn't want to do what other people tell him to do.
Yeah, in a way.
Okay, so do you think this was a good book to read in high school?
No, because it made me depressed as shit to read it.
So this is an interesting thing. So when you were assigned reading in high school, how did your teacher evaluate the reading? Like, it doesn't sound like there was a large classroom discussion. It sounds like you were paired off to sort of just talk about it.
Or put in groups, yeah.
Okay.
That's how I learned about a lot of the other books that I actually didn't read.
So in these discussions, did you get anything out of it?
Well, if I had, I have since forgotten it, and it had not stuck with me. So I'm probably going to say no.
What kind of reading, if any, do you think kids in high school should be assigned? Would you assign this book in high school if you were a teacher?
Let's see. If I were a teacher, I'd be like, all right, everyone, your next book. It's only 99 cents on Amazon.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, that actually goes into a wider discussion. What should we be reading in high school? What is the purpose of those books?
Okay, well, let's go ahead. We'll talk about assigned reading in school. And if it's one episode or two, it is what it is. So the books I read in high school were... The ones that I remember are To Kill a Mockingbird, 1984, Brave New World. Those were the philosophical books we had to read. And they were all dystopian stuff. Except To Kill a Mockingbird was dystopian, but it actually happened. So then they had us read like Beowulf and Chaucer and
Shakespeare. Yep. Beowulf and Chaucer. Pretty sure I didn't read either of them.
I read Beowulf. I read a lot of Chaucer. It's very long.
Didn't he die before he completed the Canterbury Tales?
Yeah, because it never ended. Like, he was going to do like three... Oh my god, that was such an ambitious project for him.
It was going to be them on their way to and on their way back from...
I knew like each person was going to get three stories or something, and it was like, holy shit, dude.
Yeah, I also was supposed to read To Kill a Mockingbird, and I think Brave New World, and definitely The Iliad and The Odyssey, and then I guess they thought even like The Aeneid was like bad, so we only read parts of The Aeneid. Like, didn't read the whole thing, even though... The Iliad is fucking dense and dry, and I tried to read it, and I just, like, my ADHD was like, I'd rather be doing anything else.
I have had discussions recently, because there's been a couple of popular cases in the news of certain books being quote-unquote banned. They're not really being banned from what I can understand, but they're not being taught anymore, or the teachers would like to stop teaching them. And it was like Huckleberry Finn and To Kill a Mockingbird.
And I think, why would they like to not teach them? Is it because?
Because of the language and the depictions.
Oh, okay, so it's not like... It's because we don't have that common shared narrative anymore, and we moved on from that point in time?
Well, here's the thing. So the way it's always presented in the news is that somebody is offended about hearing the N-word in a book. And the news is saying that, like, I've seen mostly a side of this in the news that says these books are important and it's important for kids to learn about racism, and To Kill a Mockingbird is like an American classic about racism and blah, 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 blah. And it's like, is that why we're reading it? It's such a big discussion. I often wonder if anybody ever stops to think what the point of the assigned reading in a high school curriculum even is.
No, probably not.
Because if you're trying...
That's what we're here for.
Well, I'm trying to... like, if you're trying to say something to your students about racism, A, is English the right class? B, why are we reading books from 50 years ago written by white people? Is there nothing more relevant to your kids that you could
be reading?
So
what would a better class be over English?
History, social studies. If you're trying to teach about...
So I guess... I guess the thing is, with that, what else would we learn in English then?
Well, that's what I'm asking is, what is the point of the assigned reading? Are you trying to show the power of a novel?
We have a common core four class group, Ben, and we need you to have an English curriculum, so you're gonna.
Right.
No pay for you.
Like, okay, I should be clear.
It's on the ACT, so you gotta get at least a 21 or higher in it.
I'm not suggesting we not read books in English class, obviously. I'm just saying, if the goal...
And we don't have enough time in history class, Ben. We're too busy learning about all of human history to the present and conveniently skipping over some parts.
It just seems to me like in English class, you're trying to get a little bit of like philosophy in there, and you're trying to shove the... You're trying to say that the novel is a great medium to express these very important ideas. And that's fine. That's great. It's true. But there are modern books that are relevant to what's happening in your kids' lives right now that you could be reading and that might actually capture your kids' attention. And instead,
yeah, we've talked about this before.
Yeah, instead you're reading Huckleberry Finn, and some kids like, this just certainly seems like an old white man using the N-word a lot. It's like, no, this is history. This is our culture. It's like,
so you would say that book in particular would probably fit better into history so that you could free up English for like something that would be
relevant to
yeah
the, to
something
your
kid. That would actually capture, because I guess for all my criticisms of the chocolate war and also everyone's criticism of my incredibly shitty plot synopsis, it was relevant to me at the time because I did read it.
I knew why I was reading Beowulf and Chaucer and Shakespeare in English class.
Absolutely.
Because they each represented distinct periods in the development of the English language. But then when you read To Kill a Mockingbird, Huckleberry Finn, 1984...
Death of a Salesman is one I read.
Yeah, it's not as clear what the reason is for that being taught in an English class. The only thing I can think is that they're trying to demonstrate the power of the novel. But these novels are no longer powerful to the kids who you're assigning them to. Like, those authors in their time were super relevant, super thought-provoking, and it blew a lot of minds. But they're really, like, To Kill a Mockingbird's not really going to blow anyone's mind today. And I've heard it
if
argued...
If it helps, I didn't read it. I think I was assigned it two or three times, and I just went, yeah,
I was
I'm
assigned
not,
to
I'm
Kill a Mockingbird
that.
3 years in a row. That That is how prevalent that book is in English curriculums. And when you dare to suggest maybe we don't assign To Kill a Mockingbird this year, the world goes absolutely apeshit, and I don't get it. Because, A, the kid has probably already been assigned it. B, it's not relevant to their lives. And C, I've heard the argument that somebody told me, well, it's important not to forget segregation happened. And it's like, I don't think there's a single kid in that classroom in 2020 who forgot about racism. It's never been more in your face and relevant.
Yeah. Yeah.
In my lifetime than it was this year. Like, there are plenty of books you could be reading. You could go pick up like a Ta-Nehisi Coates book or something. Like, there are authors today, people of color, women who are writing very thought-provoking, very relevant books about problems your kids would relate to, and you could bring them into the curriculum. And I get all this yapping from, I got to admit, my more conservative-leaning friends who are like, these are important bits of Americana that can't be forgotten, and we can't forget racism, and we need to challenge people to think, and blah, 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 blah. And my thing is, the reason you read these books, To Kill a Mockingbird and Huckleberry Finn's, is not to challenge yourself. It's because they're safe. We all agree segregation was bad. That's not a thought-provoking, challenging thing. Okay, yeah, of course there are people out there who are just absolute fucking lunatics. But for the most part, no one is taking the stance on like a national political stage that segregation should be a thing. Like they were when To Kill a Mockingbird was written. What is relevant now are things like systemic racism, classism, and they don't want you to read a book about that because they don't want to challenge you to think about that, because that is actually relevant to today's society.
Also, it should be noted that you can't challenge someone to think if they don't read your book.
Right. But there are so many, like, I don't know, teachers have, like, I'm not going to blame the teachers because they've got so much crap to deal with between school boards. Like, I'm sure teachers would love to let their kids pick from, like, a list of books that are super relevant, all very good, and have, like, in-depth discussions on what they learned. And time just does not permit for that. And the school board would shoot that down in a heartbeat. But I love when it's presented as they're trying to keep our kids from thinking, as if that was the purpose of school.
You know, I think my cousin had to read 13 Reasons Why when she was going through school.
Oh, good. In case anybody wanted to think, I don't know.
Have revenge suicide?
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. It was funny because I keep going back to the To Kill a Mockingbird thing. Like, because again, I just can't emphasize enough, I was assigned To Kill a Mockingbird 3 years in a row in the same school district. It's like all these people who flip their shit when somebody dares to suggest To Kill a Mockingbird be not read this year. They're banning To Kill a Mockingbird. No, they're not banning To Kill a Mockingbird. They're not assigning To Kill a Mockingbird. How dare they, I guess. You know what a ban looks like? A ban is when I was a kid, all the Christian schools in my town banned Harry Potter for witchcraft, and if the kid was reading that, they'd take it out of their hand.
Wow.
Yeah.
That'll teach those kids.
I don't know. The Chocolate War, it seems like, I'll be honest, I've never heard of it, and I've never heard of the guy who wrote it. So I don't know if this is a popular book to assign. it kind of seems to be in that camp of like 13 Reasons Why, where you're trying to teach teenagers that being alone and bullied is harmful to one's mental health. They know.
Absolutely. It's pretty obvious, actually.
They know. If you're going to talk about a book like this, you actually do have to talk about it, and you have to find some way to engage your entire classroom, because part of the problem I have with this book is it sounds very much like an angry adult man writing a book about society using a high school and high school bullies as an allegory.
I heard that the sequel, and I haven't read it, but I heard the sequel had gang violence thrown in there for good measure, attempted rape.
This doesn't strike me as the type of book that accurately reflects the type of bullying a kid gets in high school.
Certainly not now, because there's no Facebook in here.
Yeah. I will admit I don't have much knowledge of 13 Reasons Why. That is probably... Have you read it?
I have.
Do you think that is a better depiction of bullying?
It is until towards the end. It's very realistic until in order she witnesses, I think, like, a death, a rape, and then she gets raped. And then she decides, like, yeah, I'm done.
Well...
I'm gonna record these tapes to get back at you. Except for you, main character man. You could have gotten together with me and got the depression out of my veins. But it didn't happen.
Is that he's supposed to have had a relationship with her?
They were into each other, but they never started a relationship. And he's on the tapes, and she was like, you did nothing wrong, and, like, I wish we could have done something more, or something like that. But we didn't, and now I'm dead.
Do you think it glamorizes suicide? I don't know anything about 13 Reasons Why. I've just heard that's a criticism of it.
I don't think it was intentionally trying to, but I think it comes off as doing that. And certainly from what I've heard about the Netflix series, I didn't watch that. But from what I heard about that, the criticism of that, I think, is pretty on point.
Yeah, because that's a different tightrope to walk when you're talking about assigning reading in school is... It could...
Will you get sued over it?
Well, I was going to say you don't want to exacerbate an existing situation. Like... It's like you said, with the chocolate war, if I were a teacher assigning this book, I would have to think, how is it going to affect a kid who is actually most like the protagonist? Like, how is it going to affect a kid who is isolated and alone and maybe getting a little beaten down by life? Is this what they need right now?
So I'm thumbing through the pages of the book, and at the very end, it's clearly just a piece of notebook paper taped over a previous page. It's like, and then Jerry won, and he got all the money, and he graduated from high school early. The end.
There is something to be said for having a happy ending or something like that. Because that's another challenge of being an English teacher is a lot of your students are going to be well-adjusted. They're going to do the reading. They're going to at least make an effort to appear as if they've done the reading.
Yeah.
They're gonna work with you. And those are the kids who probably need your help the least. But what can you do for a kid who is alone and isolated? Like, you can't make friends for them. You can't live their life for them. You can't improve their home life for them. So I would be cautious, I think, to pick a book with a big downer ending like that. I might try to pick something a little bit more inspiring. I've gone back and forth about this when I talk to people about what should be assigned in English classes, because I don't necessarily know that it is the job of an English class to try to teach you about, like, morality and philosophy and all that stuff, because...
Well, that's what they're doing.
Well, you run into the problem of the English class winds up teaching the morality of the majority of the school board, which is not necessarily...
Don't talk out of turn, yeah, or we'll beat you.
It's not necessarily a good thing, in that they're going to do that, like, oh, you want to know about racism? Well, racism ended with the end of segregation.
Yeah, Martin Luther King Jr. ended racism. He died for our sins. Yeah,
it's like,
that's why he has a day named after him. The end. That's it.
Nope. Yep, that's not what anybody's talking about. Because they don't want you to, like, if you've got, like, school board is a political position. If you've got a Republican school board, they're not going to want the kids reading books about systemic racism, because they don't believe in systemic racism. If you've got a super liberal school board, they're not going to want the kids reading books about free markets, capitalism, and the supremacy of individual responsibility.
Unless it's in a negative light.
Yeah, like, it cuts both ways. You should have to read a little bit of everything. But you're not going to get that until college, because it's not politically viable.
All right, Ben. So the question is, should Lovecraft be taught in English schools?
Depends. I would ask you, Nate, what do think the point of reading in English class should be? Should it focus on morality and philosophy, or should it focus just on the language?
This is where you'd have to divide English class into a bunch of different classes under the English umbrella.
Well, do you think it should cover a little bit of everything then?
Probably, because we only have 3 years, 6 semesters to babysit these kids. What can we have them read, or at least pretend to read, to make them shut up and go away?
I mean, this is obviously my, like, pet thing, but Lovecraft is a popular American author. I'd be interested to do a unit where maybe you read one Lovecraft story, one Poe story, maybe one, like, Dunsany story or something like that.
Too much reading.
They're short stories.
Vetoed. Too much reading.
Well, that's my thing. Like, if you want to teach English right, if you want to teach these themes correctly, you have to read a bunch of things. You have to read and compare.
Too much work, Ben. It's, let's instead,
like, you can't learn about,
let's instead read To Kill a Mockingbird again.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's easy, isn't it? Like, and all these people who are like, oh, they just don't want to challenge kids. It's like, no, somebody's actually trying to challenge them, and you don't want them challenged. Let's go ahead and read the Communist Manifesto and some Ayn Rand or something. Like,
yeah, okay, about Ayn Rand. Could she maybe have cut down Atlas Shrugged? Like...
No, it was all super necessary, especially the part about her getting with a handsome capitalist. I mean, her protagonist getting with a handsome capitalist.
The 1,168 fucking pages. Was that necessary?
But, like, there are... I've definitely experienced this in my own life, where you read... If you read, like, an Ayn Rand-style book, you come away in the headspace of Ayn Rand a little bit, where you're like... You know, individual responsibility is pretty important. But then if you read something with a more socialist message, you come away thinking, like, we all need to work together. And you have to read a little bit of everything to see where your own opinions are. If you only ever read that segregation is bad, yes, it is.
Do we need a pro-segregation book in there, Ben?
No, we absolutely don't. But we do need to talk about
the subtleties of it. I don't want to say it's not an important topic now. It's not as relevant, like you were saying.
It's an important topic, but it didn't end.
No.
With the end of segregation.
When segregation is a smaller part of the larger conversation.
Yes. Like, it's like we talked about with Peter Klein's. You can't really take these things don't exist in isolation. Segregation and what people mean when they say systemic racism are intimately connected. The systems that were put in place during slavery, during segregation, and today are related. And you don't, it's not an easy thing to talk about because it has moral implications for our own individual responsibility to act and to make things better. If you're serious about challenging a person's ideas and making them think, then they need to think about that. But the problem is, if you inspire somebody to act, they may not act in the way you want them to. If you're a school board. And I have to say, another problem I have with all of the people who are ranting about English classroom curriculums is not one of them could give me a Nate quality summary of the books they're saying I should include in the curriculum. Not one of them.
Quality.
Not one of them read those fucking books that are so precious to them. Except perhaps To Kill a Mockingbird, because eventually after three readings of the Spark Notes, you got a pretty good idea what happened. I just, like, this has turned into, like, my, like, you have the chocolate war, I have To Kill a Mockingbird. I don't even dislike
How was To Kill a Mockingbird, Ben? Did it shape the way you viewed the world?
It was fine.
But what about the message, Ben?
Confirmed my existing values. Racism bad. Like, that's the problem, though. Did not challenge my values. It's because you see, like, obviously, like, Atticus Finch is a good guy. I'm not going to talk about the sequel because I don't. There's so many weird circumstances surrounding that. But in the original novel, To Kill a Mockingbird, Atticus Finch is the white savior, and all the idiot peasant town folk are the bad guys because they're idiot peasants who aren't enlightened like we are, and we want to be enlightened, and so it confirms our existing bias that we're good because we don't think like that.
That sounds a lot like the white man's burden. No.
It doesn't, because the white man's burden is that they have to uplift.
Yeah, did he not have to uplift this?
No, he was defending an innocent man.
Oh, okay.
He was a lawyer who defends a guy.
See, Ben, they told me to read To Kill a Mockingbird two or three times, and I was like, yeah, I'm not gonna do that.
No, there's the plot of
To Kill a Mockingbird. And that's why I'm co-hosting a podcast on reading.
The part of To Kill a Mockingbird that I'm talking about, the racist aspect, is there is a black guy who is accused of rape by a white woman, and he did not do it. I believe she was actually raped by her father.
Oh.
And she's trying, okay, like, she just in desperation said, this black guy did it, and the case against him is, like, transparently thin, and the main character's father, Atticus Finch, takes on the case to defend him. Right before Harper Lee died, she wrote a sequel, which was a little controversial, where Atticus Finch actually wasn't a good guy. He was kind of a racist, and the family's black servants, who the family thought really enjoyed working for them, actually hated them.
Oh my God.
And
wasn't that the argument? Like, the slaves love working for us.
I don't know. I haven't read the sequel. There was some, I seem to remember there was some like funny business around.
Some funny business.
Like whether or not Harper Lee was somewhat coerced into writing it, but there's also rumors that she was forced to change aspects of the original novel. So I don't know. Like,
little of column A, little of column B. Nobody wins.
There's a whole separate To Kill a Mockingbird episode in there.
Oh, yeah. I'll actually have to read it. I can join in on that conversation. I'll spark notes it.
No, don't. There's so much. Like, I would have to do a bunch of research of the stuff around that to really like get at what Harper Lee intended and what she was trying to say. There were definitely, I've heard rumors going both ways that her publisher made her change parts of the book, and that her publisher interfered or suggested certain things for the second book. I don't know what it is. A lot of people were upset with the second book because Atticus Finch is this like very pure heroic figure who is then sort of taken down a peg or destroyed in the second book, when it turns out he actually wasn't operating from pure motivations and he actually wasn't the best guy, which I don't know. That could be an interesting take on it, because that probably does ring more true to life.
How does this how does this correlate with Dune and Dune Messiah?
Yeah, not a lot of not a lot. Doesn't really correlate.
Oh, okay. So anything else we want to talk about on school reading, school assigned reading?
No, not really. I just want people to like let English teachers teach what they want.
You want high school to actually be there to teach you rather than to babysit you?
That's never going to happen. I don't care. No, that's literally never going to happen. I just think let teachers teach. Stay out of their way, I guess. And if you don't want to read a book, I'm going to let you in a little secret, kids. Just don't read it. You can fake it.
Yeah, I did. A lot.
Yeah.
And then later on, you too can go on and host a book podcast.
Read the books you want to read. Cliff notes, whatever your school assigns you. School's babysitting, don't worry about it. Just get good enough grades not to ruin your life. That's the secret.
Yeah, good enough grades being mostly B's, I guess.
Get that rubber stamp and get the fuck out.
I actually had a friend who just didn't show up for like most of the last semester of high school, and they just gave him a diploma, told him he was good.
That's all that matters.
Exactly.
Get that paper, get out.
All right. So next week, and I'll edit this if I guess we're wrong, but next week I think you want to talk about Dune.
Yeah, we can talk about Dune.
All right. Next week we're talking about Dune. Hooray.
Hooray.
And then next month, our book club book. Ben, what is it?
February, we're reading Midnight Sun by Stephanie Meyer. It's Twilight, but from the perspective of Edward, which makes the whole story much, much more troubling.
It is very troubling. Have you started reading it yet?
No, I'm still reading Hunters of Dune, which is also troubling.
Oh boy. Well, we're getting in some troubling books the next couple weeks then.
Prepare for troubling and make it doubling.
Ouch.
Oh.
Sleepy Ben strikes again. Hey, real quick, I need to edit this in that on the blog, words about books pod. Oh, shit, hold on. blog.wordsaboutbooks.ninja. I will be posting a more thorough and complete summary of The Chocolate War for anyone who gives a shit.